you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. Appreciate that. Let's open God's Word to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, where we're in the section dealing with the pastor-teacher. We've dealt with the Word of God, the wisdom of God in chapter 1, the Holy Spirit in chapter 2, and now in chapter 3, Paul moves to the teaching of God's Word and its urgency and all. So, let's begin with the word of prayer that the Holy Spirit can open our eyes to things that He would have us to see and understand. Let's pray. Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity we have to open this book, to study this book. What a great time we live, Heavenly Father, where we can buy a Bible for $10. Periods of history, they didn't even have the Bible, most people. And yet, Heavenly Father, how it's neglected in the study. But Father, we take advantage of our freedom, take advantage of having a text. We pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, this, surprisingly, is a Bible church. In fact, that's in our name. So we're concerned with what the Word of God says, not what man says, and what man does to it. Now, I know that a lot of you have heard the gold, silver, and precious stones referring to the production in the lives of believers, and the wood, hay, and stubble, and the flesh. But we have to look at the context. Now, I was asked by two or three different people last Sunday, so I want to cover this in just a few moments. We have to look at the context. What is the context about? What is being referred to by these two categories of material, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw? What is being talked about? So, I'm going to ask you, in the power of the Spirit, to be sure that you are in the Spirit, and let's just read together this section of Scripture and see what flows for you. What seems to be being talked about in the Scripture. All right, let's start reading at verse 4, which is pertinent to our study. What then is Apollos, and what is Paul, servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one Paul or Apollos? I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one, anyone who plants, nor the one, anyone, any pastor who waters, is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now, he, generically, of anybody, any pastor, who plants, and he who waters, are one. But each will receive his own, each one of these will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace. So we're talking about building material, and you're the building, and you're the field. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. And another, that's another pastor, is building upon that foundation. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. So, no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds, this be a pastor, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. But because it is to be revealed, it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burnt up, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as through fire. Okay. Now, just by going by the context, what would you say, you're just looking at this, is the gold and silver and precious stone, the wood, hay, and straw? Just by reading this in context, forget all the other verses in other chapters, in this context, what would you say is the gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, and straw? Anyone, what would you say it is? Well, it's the gospel, doctrine, good doctrine, false doctrine. I'm sorry? Yeah, taught by the pastor. Yeah. So, the issue here is identifying in verse 12. Look at verse 12. Any man. Verse 13, he says, each man. And then in verse 14, if any man's work, which he built upon it. So the question we have to deal with, if you're interpreting the Word of God and dealing with it, and you dealing with this context, the question is, who does this man refer? Does it refer to any believer? Or does it refer to the pastor teacher building on the foundation of Christ? So you're just examining the text. What would you say it refers to? Any believer or pastor teacher?
May I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
I think we need to back up to verse 10. And the foundation is by his Christ, and the another is the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Building upon it. So, but dealing with any man and the man here, is this going to be any believer or the pastor in context? Anybody? It's pastor. In context. It's the pastor teacher. Yes, Morgan. Okay, we, the pastors, you, the believer, God's field. God's building. So that's the believer. And we, there, are the pastors building upon it. Okay? Is that okay for that? Alright? Now, the context is used of the pastor-teacher, the one planting and watering, laying a foundation, building upon the foundation. Two different metaphors. We have the metaphor, the agriculture, planting and watering, and then the building, and laying the foundation and building on it. So in context, the gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, and straw, refers to the building material. Doctrines used by the pastor teacher in building on the foundation of the gospel. How he builds upon it, if we just stay with the context. Now, on the other hand, the life of the believer, when a believer stands at the judgment seat of Christ, he is evaluated on the basis of what? He's evaluated on the basis of production. Not building, not planning, not foundation, not building material and building on the foundation. He is based on the basis of production. We'll take a look at that. Does this mean that this cannot apply to believers? I think if we wanted to, we could apply it. The principle to believers, where your work is gold, silver, and precious stones. But that's not what it says in this context. We have to be true to the context, people. So we can apply that principle, but if you look for a contextual verification of that, you're going to be hard-pressed. This does not refer to every believer, but to really the building material of the pastor-teacher. So the pastor-teacher is going to be evaluating, we'll take a look at all this, not on the basis of his works, but on the basis of his building material. That's what he's going to be evaluated by at the judgment seat of Christ, if we're seeing what's going on in this text. What he uses as the building material in the assembly. It does refer to that upon which the believer builds his life. Now, with 1 Corinthians 3 in mind, would you turn to 2 Corinthians 5 a moment? We don't have time to go through all of these and labor a study, but just read them through. Second Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, most people are occupied, I guess all people are occupied with death, dying. And so that's what I think most people are occupied with. I think a lot of people are occupied with heaven and hell, whatever they want to call heaven, whatever they want to call hell, with the afterlife. But people, what a believer should be concerned with is not death, is not heaven or hell, but is standing at the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to die. We know that. I get all my work in the Word of God, but I get my illustration somewhere else. And this morning's comic section in the Dallas Morning News, there's a series called Pickles. And it's an old man and an elderly lady. See how nice I am? And so this morning, the grandpa has his little nephew or his grandson talking to him. He says, Grandpa, do you ever think about dying? And he says, everyone thinks about dying, and when you get my age, it's imminent. It's going to be any time now. And about that time, Opal, his wife, hollers from the other room. She says, did you use my fine bow to wash the car? And he looks at his grandson and says, and my time may be more imminent than I think. But we all think about dying. We all know we're going to die. Children know they're going to die. We brought this up at the camp this summer, and we had 9-year-olds and up. And they understand that death is imminent, and we don't know when. Nobody has a guarantee you're going to live to be 90. And so we all think about death. Most people think about heaven and hell, what's going to happen after I die. But people, the believer, you and I, should think about appearing at the judgment seat of Christ. This is a certain. You're going to die outside of the rapture generation. That's a certain. You're going to heaven. That's a certain. Now, the point is, after death, you're going to appear at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. That's a certain. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is a reality of the future. Every believer will stand before Jesus Christ for the evaluation of his life. Now, don't ask me how he's going to do this in a very short time with every believer from the beginning of the church age to the rapture. I don't know. That's his problem. Expediency is his problem. All I can tell you is every believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ after the rapture. Now, the reason we're staying there, standing there, valuation of our life. Look what it says. That, in order that, we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, in order that each one, each believer, may be recompensed, 50-cent word. Now, here is the issue. May be recompensed. Both the King James and the NIV translates this verb, may receive. But this verb is richer than the ordinary Greek word to receive. Why does Paul use this word? This verb carries with it, and listen now, this verb carries with it the idea of bringing something and receiving something. That's why he chose this Greek word. It's a difficult to translate in a one word for one word. And it's a rich word. So you have the normal word to receive, but this is richer. It means to bring something and receive something back. What the believer brings to God is now given to us. Look what it says. For his deeds in the body. Now, actually, the word deeds is not in the Greek manuscript. That word is not in the Greek manuscript. For his deeds in the body, deeds is not there. It's actually generic things through the body. According to what things he has done. Now, the word done is a Greek word, proso, and it expresses an action repeated. A repeated action. It refers to a practice of life. We are not talking about isolated times in our life. We're not talking about isolated sin. We're not talking about isolated victories. And then it says, whether good or bad. Now here comes the issue. What does good and bad refer to? So now we have to determine what is good, what is bad. Now, first the thing you want to know about this is, what's good and bad? Not in our eyes. Not in the eyes of man. But what is good and bad in the eyes of the judge. Who is the judge? Jesus Christ. We're standing before the judgment seat of Christ. So, he is the judge. And very important. People, every one of us are going to stand here. Every one of us. And so, I'm taking this time to walk you through this. Please hold your place here. And look with me at, well, you don't need to hold your place at the Corinthians 10 thing. But look at 1 Samuel. Look at 1 Sam chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. In our 1 o'clock pastoral study class, which we have narrowed it down to the few and the mighty. We've lost a lot we've lost people that were just auditing the class. They didn't stay very long. But what we're doing, one of the things we're doing is we're learning every book of the Old Testament in historical order, not biblical order, but in historical order. And when we're through, we're going to be able to do it in historical order, give you approximate date and approximate idea of what that book is about, which to me is just invaluable. I'm just so sorry I didn't do this 37 years ago, actually 40 years ago, 50 years ago. But anyway, okay. 1 Samuel 16, everybody should have found it by now. Verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance. Picking out who's going to be the king. Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, but because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. This is what's going to be looked at the judgment seat of Christ, people. So what is good? All things done in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's done by faith. What is bad? All things done in the flesh, outside of the Holy Spirit. So if you're paying attention, bad can include such things as giving, singing, witnessing, doing things in the assembly, in the local church, witnessing, all these things. Many Christians put up a false front, appearing to be righteous while in fact they're not. Appearing to be a saint while in fact, well, they are a saint. That was not a good illustration. Appearing to be a wonderful person when in fact they're not. They're driven by arrogance, self-centeredness. They want people to look at them. They want people to compliment them. All these things. So they perform in the flesh to impress themselves and to impress others. Thinking they're impressing God. If you're impressing yourself, you're impressing others, then surely you're impressing God. No, according to 1 Samuel 16, you're not. He's going to look inside. The second principle. If you're thinking, good refers to all things we do by faith. That is, walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Principle 3. Bad. Now the first thing I want you to know about bad does not refer to sin. Get that in your mind. Get that in your understanding. Bad does not refer to sin in the normal thinking of sin. Why? Why does the bad not refer to sin? Who can answer that? Why, at the judgment seat of Christ, why will your sins not be brought up? Taken care of on the cross. They're not going to be brought up. That's taken care of. They're not going to be brought up at the great white throne judgment for an unbeliever. They're certainly not going to be brought up at the judgment seat of Christ for the believer. So just take away bad. Well, he's a bad person. They did bad things. No, all that's taken care of on the cross by Jesus Christ. So we have to see what the bad does refer to. It bad does not refer to sin. Sins were taken care of at the cross. Now, fourth principle. The fourth principle. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 16 together. 1 Corinthians 16 for our fourth principle. 1 Corinthians 16, and let's read together verses 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. Be on the alert. This means 24/7. Well, maybe not while you're sleeping. But when you're awake, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith, walking by faith in the Spirit. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. That is, in spiritual love. How do we get spiritual love? By faith in the Holy Spirit. This love is a fruit of God the Holy Spirit. So, this is the manner in which we do it. Principle 5. Now, let's relate this to our study in 1 Corinthians 3, our study that we're looking at here in 1 Samuel 10. Let's take a look now what we have going on. I want you to note that at the judgment seat of Christ, the issue for the believer is not gold and silver and precious stone. It's not building material. But it's all that he has done, what the practice of his life. It's right there before you. It's a practice of his life and done in the Holy Spirit. The good is what he's done in the Holy Spirit. Now, adding this to our study in 1 Corinthians 3, how a believer acts in life, what he practices in life, is dependent upon the foundation laid and the building material used by the pastor teacher of that local church. That's very important. You will be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ how you practice your life. The pastor teacher is going to be evaluated by his building material. And I think this is so beautifully illustrated right now in a public format. Josh Hamilton, outfielder for the Texas Rangers. He's made headlines on the internet, newspapers, and talk shows across the country, I understand. And he has presented what he's been taught, his view of God. And his view of God, he's explaining his inconsistencies in life and hitting the ball. He's the one that hit 4 home runs in one game. And he's explaining this, and the world's trying to deal with it. The sports world's trying to deal with this. And the way he's explained it is, dipping, snuff, is a sin. And God is going to discipline him for his sin, and until God is through disciplining him, he'll not get it back at the bat. And that's what people are hearing. That's his view of God. And I was so amazed this week. I was driving, and this one, and I don't know who he was, this one radio broadcaster who was trying to explain Hamilton's position, he said, listen, and I was just blown away. He said, many Christians think that you have to be good, live a certain moral life according to them to be saved. Other Christians believe that you're saved by faith alone in Christ. I went, whoa, man alive, on a sports talk show. This guy just laid it out. And he went on and explained how Hamilton is, what his, kind of his view of salvation in the Christian life is about. And so, people, how you live your life is dependent upon what you learn in the church. And it's amazing what people are learning in churches today. And it just amazes me. I'd love to have the opportunity to sit down with Josh Hamilton and lay it out about God, about dipping, and about how God deals with us. All these types of things. So it's so vitally important to pay attention who you're paying attention to, who you listen to. Yes. what she's going through right now in her old age, being taken to a home. And yeah. But you see what her mother said? Somebody must have really sinned bad for me to be paying for this. Meaning, herself. She must have really sinned somewhere bad. And Judith explained to her, no, Mom, that goes back to the sin of Adam. The reason we all grow old and get gray hair and lose body and all these things, it's all dealing with the original sin in the garden. Now, I doubt her mother's ever heard that. I don't know that she was able to process it, but she heard the truth. And it should have given her peace. But there's so much that depends upon what you hear from the pulpit. And you better know that it's right or not. You can't just blindly say, oh, I believe this man or I believe this denomination, whatever they say. Don't do that. You got to depend on the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And you've got to be you're responsible for what you build your life on. And what you're building your life on is His building material. Is it gold, silver, and precious stone? Or is it wood, hay, and straw? So this becomes very important. These steps that we're going through, these five principles that we've looked at here. So how a believer lives their life, which they'll stand in judgment for at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, is based upon and dependent upon the building material of the pastor-teacher. So how they what they use to guide their life, and what is sin, where does sin fit in, what is this Holy Spirit, where does He fit in, how does God discipline, does God is sitting up there taking points and writing it all down, getting even with people? You see, how we act in life, what we practice in life, is dependent upon what's inside of our souls. And that's dependent on the building material of the pastor-teacher. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're just going to read one verse. 2 Corinthians 5, 1. For we know that if the earthly tent, that's your body, which is our home, is torn down, we have a building from God. Now, that tearing down, unfortunately, can be a process of year after year after year. Or it can just be a one-time tent drop. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the pastor-teacher building with great, with gold, silver, and precious stone, and the believer growing under gold, silver, and precious stone, they stand together. The pastor stands there. Those believers stand on what they have been taught at the judgment seat of Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1. This is a powerful verse. And we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. Just as you also partially did understand us, that we are your reason to be proud, as you also are ours in the day of our Lord Jesus. That's at the judgment seat of Christ. So, when Jesus Christ evaluates, just putting it in personal terms, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and He values your walk in the power of the Spirit, when you do, when we all do, you will be rewarded. And the pastor, I will be rewarded that I have taught gold, silver, and precious stones for you to build your life on, build your actions on. So that's what this verse is saying. So just as, verse 14, just as you are also partially did understand us, I'll just tell you what that means. You don't get all that I teach. So that's what this means. You don't get all that I teach. I have a friend of mine. Well, most of you know Don Becker. I love him because he'll call and say, you know, I listened to Sunday or Wednesday night's lesson for the third time. And I mean the third time. It was so powerful. And I went, yes, good. That's good. Because it does. So that's what he's saying here. You didn't listen to the tape enough times. So you, just as you also partially did understand us, that we are your reason to be proud, as you also are our reason to be proud. It's a joint working together in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with that in mind, look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And we want to look at chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's read verses 15 through 17 of chapter 2. Verse 15. So then, brethren, believers, stand firm. Hold to the tradition which you were taught, hopefully gold, silver, and precious stone, whether by word or of mouth or by letter from us. In other words, where Paul was face-to-face teaching or through one of his letters. Now, may our... By the way, verse 15, it condones tapes, videos, all of these types of things that we have today available for the communication of the Word. Some people say, well, you're not really getting anything if you just listen to this or that. No, this confirms it. Whether you get it by letter or by mouth, or by, he didn't have them, but by tapes, CDs, television, whatever it is. But again, be careful whom you listen. So then, brethren, stand firm, hold to the traditions. That's the practice. Proso. That we're looking at in 1 Corinthians. Proso, practice, which you were taught, whether by word or of mouth or by letter from us. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and every good work and word. Everything you say, everything you do. So, according to God's plan, the church, one lays the foundation. Another pastor comes along and builds upon it. Waters or builds upon it. What does he use to build upon it? The gold, silver, and precious stone, or wood, hay, and straw? What does he build upon it? The believers in that assembly will build their life, their word, and their works, based upon that building material. While each believer's life is different, God's plan is personal for each individual believer, but people, the building material is the same. No matter what your spiritual gift is, no matter what God's plan for your life is, whether it's to stay here, go there, whatever it is, God's plan, it's the same building material, the gold, silver, and precious stones. So you want to be careful that you do not build it on the wood, hay, and straw that a lot of preachers use. You choose your building material that you want to have built for your life. The pastor teacher chooses. I'm going to build this on wood, hay, and straw. Now, he wouldn't call it that. No pastor's going to say, well, I'm going to build mine out of straw. Every pastor thinks he's building it out of good, solid material. But according to God, there is wood, hay, and straw. There's gold and silver and precious stone. He gets to choose which one he's going to build his church on. Whether it's going to be on programs, singing, nothing wrong with singing, and music, and all this kind of stuff, and rah, 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 all of that, speaking in tongues, healing, and all these kind of things, or is he going to build it on the solid teaching of the Word of God? So, finally, it's the believer's responsibility to pay attention to what he's building his life on, what he's being taught or not taught. Not taught. It's amazing the number of people that are not taught about the spiritual warfare. And I always enjoy it when people have talked to others and they come and tell me, well, they don't know anything about this. And man, I'm just thankful. And no, people, they're not. They're not taught. Laura Daig was telling me that she had a lady friend who may come and join us, visit with us. But she said, I want to ask you three things about your church. I love what you're doing with my child at camp. I got three questions I want to ask you. And number one, do y'all believe you have to be baptized to be saved? And Laura said, no, of course not. Well, you're unique. And then secondly, do you have to be a member of that church to take communion? No, you do not. And she said, wow, you are really, really unique. And I forgot the third one, but there was a third one, and the woman was just blown away. She said, there's just no church that teaches those three things the way that you do. And so, people, you have to be careful. What are you learning? What are you growing with? The first decision that every one of us has to make is, what foundation are we going to build it on? Are we going to build it on Jesus Christ, Him crucified and resurrected? Or are we going to build it on a denomination? On some program, some works, some feel good, all this kind of stuff. You've got to decide that first and foremost. If you're going to be on faith or some works program. Then, once you've made that decision, see, and that's a one-shot decision. That's a one-shot decision if it's faith in Jesus Christ. But now you've got to make a decision about your life. What are you going to build your life on? What are you going to build your marriage on? What are you going to build your financial life on? What are you going to build your pleasure life on? What are you building your day-by-day practice on? What church are you going to attend and why? Upon what are you going to build your life? Where the pastor teacher uses the precious foundation of Christ and then builds on it with gold, silver, and precious stone? Or some cheap, shoddy material, gold-plated, looks good in the world, sounds good in the world, but before God, it's shoddy. It's wood, hay, and stubble. And boy, as soon as a match is struck to it, it's gone. It's gone. So you have to make up your mind. Now, we're not going to go through and try to pinpoint the gold, every doctrine that fits the gold and silver and precious stones or the wood, hay, and straw to specific doctrines. But we know that legalism, religion, fit under the wood, hay, and straw. It'll burn up real quick. And if I could speak with Josh Hamilton, that's what I would tell him. You've got wood, hay, and straw, and you're building your whole life on it, whether or not you can hit a ball, whether or not you can do this. And people, let me tell you something. I don't laugh that off. Many different people have said he's very religious, and I believe he is religious. And he takes all these things really seriously, more seriously than a lot of Christians who are not religious. So what all that he really needs is the truth of the foundation and then the truth of gold, silver, and precious stones. But his life demonstrates what he's building it upon. So we're not going to break this down to specific doctrines, but we do. Yes. Eve, I hope that my wife doesn't mind, but I'm going to use her as an example. She was looking. She was not happy. She was just, this isn't it. This isn't it. She tried different churches, different Bible study groups, and she just knew, this isn't what I'm looking for. And she used to pass by our church over in Spring Valley. And she'd drive by, I need to go in there. And one day she rushed in there and was late, but she came in. And she heard the next day, she was going to go to Israel. And the message that she heard was, will you just trust me? And that haunted her the whole week that she was in Israel. And so when she came back, she came. Now, to answer what I'm saying is, I believe that if a person is seeking truth, genuinely seeking truth, there'll be agitation in their soul. And the Holy Spirit will agitate them. Yes. And And if you, and if somebody said, what is it you want? I don't know. Would you have said that? I don't know, but I wanted truth. I want truth. Yeah. Himself. Yeah. Yeah. Morgan? Yeah. I'm saved. I've walked the aisle. I did as a child. I walked the aisle so many times. The preacher finally got with me and said, "Herman, quit walking the aisle." And I told, I did. I was old enough, and I knew it, and I, we were good friends. And I said, "Sometimes I just want you to stop singing just as I am, so I can get out of here and for a date tonight after church." And but yeah, that's the deal. And just, you just know there's more, but you maybe not be sure. Yes. No. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have your hand up? So what we're experiencing here, and I enjoy the personal input, is how important it is what you learn. How it will regulate and determine how you act, how you evaluate people. It's just amazing how a lot of Christians just make it so hard for someone to be saved. Just so difficult. I know there were people, and boy, I'm stepping on some tender ground here, but there were people who were just so sure that Harold Samuelson was not saved. He was saved. I know he was saved. But Christians, no. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. We want to make it so difficult when the foundation is Jesus Christ, not your life. So the first important issue is the foundation. That's essential. Then do you build upon it? And if you start off with the foundation being works, well, you can see where you're headed. You will just dive into any works, any program, be it music, be it charismatic, or working, or service, or whatever it is, if that's what you've accepted. So it's so important. Yes. There you go. And I believe that. I believe that. And just Christians are vicious people. We really are people. We talk about Christ, we talk about love, we talk about all these things, but we live law. Now, we being generic of most Christians, we just live law when it comes down, push comes to shove. And when we talk about love, you've got to earn it. And salvation, you've got to earn it. But so that's why it is so essential that we work together, the pastor teaching the gold, silver, and precious stone, the believer listening to the gold, silver, and precious stones, and when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, people, putting it in the analogy of verse 14 there we read, it's, I'm proud for you, and you're proud for me. You're our proud, and I'm your proud. So this is how the team, grace team, works together. So this becomes a great issue. So it can be wood, hay, and straw, legalism, do and do, do and do, or it can be built upon the sound teaching of the Word of God. And now neither the pastor, depending on what he builds on, or the believer, the practice of his life, neither will lose their salvation. And I personally believe it's going to be a lot of disappointments and a lot of surprises at the judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be a lot disappointed who think that they're just going to they're going to need some big diesel trucks to haul all those goods away. And they're going to walk away not even with a wheelbarrow full. And I believe there's going to be some pastors who just studied and taught and encouraged people, counseled people in the truth, and just love the Lord, love the people, love studying the Word of God and teaching it, and they're the ones that are, can I borrow your diesel? Since you don't need it, since you don't need your diesel, can I borrow it? That type of humor, this analogy. So this becomes a great issue. So once you decide to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, now you have to think about your life in Christ. Salvation, one-shot decision, one-time decision. But people, our life is built day by day, every day of our life. Every day of our life. This is true of the pastor. It's true of the believer. It's every day of our life. John Hintz and I are amazed at the number of men. Now, we're both 70, and we're amazed at the number of men that, well, I'm tired and of studying and going to retire. We're just getting turned on. We're just now grasping some of the truths, grasping how it's put together. And it's just amazing. So, okay, Paul's speaking here to pastor teacher, and he's talking about building material for the pastor teacher. And if you want to apply it to a believer, in principle, as I said, I don't think that's a problem, but I hope we've looked at it contextually of why, then to context of 1 Corinthians 3, it's building material used by the pastor, and the believer is going to be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ, not by the building material, but by the practice of his life, which is based upon the building material. Any question about what we just did? Because I think this was necessary due to the questions I was asked. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 now. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Yes.
I'm surprised that there's not the mention of the Holy Spirit on it.
Okay. Chapter 2, he laid a total foundation of the Holy Spirit. Just like in chapter 3, he doesn't really say anything about Bible teaching. It's gold, silver, and precious stone. But he doesn't really. Why? That's chapter 1. He laid out the wisdom of God. And then chapter 2, the dependency on the Holy Spirit. How we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit totally. So he's just breaking it down categorically for them. Okay. Now, verse 13. Each man's work will become evident. The Greek word means to manifest, to make clear, to make visible. Many will hide behind wood, hay, and straw, behind flesh motivation, instead of spirit led. But on the day of the judgment seat of Christ, it will be made visible. Whether you got gold-plated material, which is what a lot of churches are, and a lot of preachers' material is, and it looks shiny, it looks good, they got several buildings, they've got a lot of going on, it's all wood, hay, and straw. Now remember, wood, hay, and straw is not sin. Please remember that. This is not wood, hay, gold, silver, precious stones, nonsense, wood, hay, and straw is sin. No, the wood, hay, and straw is okay stuff. It's not bad stuff, but it'll burn. It will not last through the tribulations of life. It will not last you long in life. It will get you nowhere at the judgment seat of Christ. And remember that, just for example, the degrees. And we went over this last week, but the degrees. Obviously, a straw house will burn much quicker than a wood house. But the wood house will eventually burn. The gold, silver, and precious stone will not burn. I was reading this, and it was an interesting story. I forgot who it was that was telling it, but it said that it's really interesting. You go through history, and you see, you study under where volcanoes were, and all the eruptions and all. And what we find? We find gold, silver, and precious stones. We don't find anything that was made out of wood, paper, or straw. It's not there. It doesn't survive. So that's what we're dealing with here. All right, what is interesting here is the expression will become evident. Now, will become evident. The implication is that it may not be evident now. It may not be evident now. It may not be evident to the world. Remember, from the 1 Samuel passage, the world judges by what it sees. God goes much deeper. The world doesn't see what God sees. One man's work, one pastor's building, may look great to the world. May look moral, wonderful, shiny, big, all this stuff. But to God, it's wood and straw. And that's why I said I think there's going to be a lot of disappointment at the judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be a lot of surprises at the judgment seat of Christ. See? Going to be a lot of disappointment. God looks at the soul. God looks at the building material. One of the tragedies of this day will be to those who are self-deceived. Those who know they are motivated by the flesh, by the desires of the flesh for money, for prosperity, for popularity, for authority, for praise. These know what they're doing. And I honestly believe there are a lot of these TV evangelists throughout the history of the TV. They knew what they were doing. They were cons and they knew it. And religious people are con suckers. They get what they deserve. They want it so bad. And they're just playing, they're both playing this game. See? But the real tragedy is those pastors who are self-deceived. This is the real thing. This charismatic stuff. This singing praise stuff. This missionary stuff. This serving stuff. All these types of things. It isn't the study of the Word of God. It isn't the word-by-word study of God's Word. That's not what's important. What we're doing is really important. And they're self-deceived. They believe it. They're the real tragedy, in my opinion. A con artist is not a tragedy. Con artist may be a believer, but he's a con artist. Yes. Okay, one way, yes, one way may be, pardon the expression, they fall. Whatever. IRS, sin, people, whatever. And then they sit back and look. If they're really concerned, they'll sit back and look. What's been going on in my life? And they will go to the truth. Others don't even learn by that. They'll just find some new con game, some new momentum. Some new thing that they're involved in that they think is truth. But some, I think, they fall and they, it's like the Isaiah 28 passage, that they may fall backward and take a snare. You do that and you may, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? This hasn't helped me. Maybe the truth is the faith. So, and that's how it works. So I think the con guy who's built his house of cards, and the man who's self-deceived builds his house of cards, once something tragic happens in their life, they may come to the reality. Wait a minute, this isn't working. My con game isn't working. What I thought was truth isn't working. So, that may be. Okay. Alright, let's take a look at two Old Testament believers in this respect. Two Old Testament believers. First of all, Jonah. Jonah led hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord. He led an entire city-state. The city-state of Nineveh. 1900 years city-state power. He led the whole city-state from the king down to the Lord. No profit to him whatsoever, no benefit to him. Now, Noah, all he was able to lead to the Lord was his own family, and I think that's pretty genius. Most people lose their family. But at least he led, and the rest of the world rejected. And he might think that he's a total failure, but he's listed in the hero of believers in Hebrews 12. So people, it's not what the world sees. It's what God sees. What's going on? Two words we want to note carefully in this verse. Verse 13. First of all, contextually. First, man. Who does that refer to? And I think we've well documented now in this passage, in the context, this refers to those who plant and those who water, not to the ordinary believer. But in principle, of course, applies to the believer, but in context, this refers to the one who plants, the one who waters, the one who builds. Secondly, I want you to note the singular work. Note verse 13. Each man's work. In the singular, not in the plural works. What's going on here? You look at your life as a believer. Not your sins and your failures. Why not? They're taken care of on the cross. But your not your momentary victories either. But your moment by moment, the momentum of your life. That's what God is going to be looking at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what Christ is going to be looking at. The momentum of your life. Oh, wait a minute, Lord. Do you remember that one time in 1938? In December of 1938, I gave some presents in the power of the Spirit. Okay, we'll give you a little check mark. See? What he's looking for is that momentum of our life, people. Not just sins and failures. I love reading Hebrews 11 every now and then. And you know why I like reading it? Because not one sin is mentioned. Samson is in that book. And all most people think about Samson are his sins. It's not even mentioned, and yet he's in the book of Heroes. David sinned. Moses sinned. Every one of those people in that book sinned. Not one sin is mentioned. God's looking at the momentum of their life, what their life accounted for. Now, for the pastor, what was he using for building material throughout his life? That's what's important. Now, let's just have fun here. Let's say a pastor goes 25 years building with wood, hay, and straw. Something happens and he catches on to gold, silver, and precious stone. And he turns to that. Okay? That's going to be the evaluation of his ministry. The gold, silver, and the precious stones when it comes under fire. Again, sins are not mentioned at the judgment seat of Christ, just as they're not mentioned at the great white throne judgment. The wood, hay, and straw has nothing to do with sin. It's dealing with weak material. Legalism. Religion, all the other stuff that people put in place of studying the Word of God. So, sins are not mentioned at the judgment seat of Christ. Don't even think about it. They're not mentioned at the great white throne. So, many Christians, by the way, many Christians do not like this kind of teaching. They want the Christian to pay for his sins, and they want it brought out. And they don't like this kind of teaching. They don't even like it that the unbeliever's sins are not mentioned at the grave. No. They are mentioned. That's why they're burning. People, that's not why they're burning. Those sins are taken care of on the cross. You don't get it both ways. Christ bore the sins of the cross, but I want you to bear the penalty. No, you don't get it that way. Either Christ bore it or he didn't. And they don't like that kind of teaching. They want this pastor, this deacon, this believer, this singer, these Christians. I want them to pay for that. So since Christ isn't going to bring it up at the great white throne judgment, I'll bring it up now. I'll just tell everybody now. See? If the Lord isn't going to bring it up, I'll bring it up. I'll make sure people know about it. See? So, and you know what? Unfortunately, they ought to give thanks because their sins will not be brought up. Their sins will not be mentioned. Their arrogance, their pride, their all this stuff is not going to be brought up either. So be careful how you deal with these kind of truths. Now let's look at another important place where the singular work, because I think this is important, that work. It's work. Your life is built based upon that work. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1 with me. 1 Thessalonians 1. And let's make it verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3. Constantly bearing in mind, note where the battle is, note where the encouragement is to the pastor, constantly bearing in mind your work, singular, of faith, and labor, singular, of love. And steadfastness of hope in your Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. I like the way Paul expresses it in Galatians 5. Nothing else matters but faith expressing itself in love. But what I want you to note here is the singular work. The singular. It's looked at as your whole life. Zodiates points out an excellent place to see gold, silver, precious stone, and wood, hay, and straw as it applies to a believer's life. Look at James chapter 2. I like this. What is the result of gold, silver, and precious stone. Believer's not going to be judged on that. That's what the pastor's going to be judged on. But the believer's going to be judged or evaluated on the basis of the gold, silver, and precious stone, if he indeed has any in him. So let's look at James 2, verse 12. So speak, and so act, speaking and action, as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. Those who speak and act in grace. People, that's being built upon by the gold, silver, and precious stones. Showing mercy. Showing mercy. It's amazing how many Christians know the Mosaic law, but do not know a thing about the law of liberty. And those who do know something about it, they misapply it. Oh, that means you just go sin. No, you don't get to go sin. No, that's not what it means. It's not what it means. People, you've got to know the truth of Scripture. Got to know the truth of Scripture. See? But Paul, they know the Mosaic law, but they don't know the law of liberty. They don't know the law of Christ. The law of Christ, which are directly related to the local church, related to spiritual love. But God and Jesus Christ know about the law of liberty. They know about the law of Christ. They know about the law of love. And these are the laws based on the judgment seat of Christ. Look at verse 13. For judgment seat of Christ, will be merciless to, that means without mercy, to one who has no mercy. What's that? That's the wood, hay, and stubble. That's the one who's taught, boy, you got to live by law. You got to treat everybody by law. That's wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble. Okay, before we go back to 1 Corinthians 3, I'm just getting wound up, but it's time to stop. I'm ready to go now for another hour or so just in 1 Corinthians, but we want to get to Romans, so let's, and then to communion, and then eating. So let's close in a word of prayer. Father, there's just no accidents in your plan. We can take nothing for granted in your plan. It is perfectly laid out. Your plan for our lives is as perfectly laid out as the creation of the world, with the God particle, that which constitutes matter, sensitive, intricate. But Heavenly Father, so is your plan for our lives. It's so important in our lives. The gold, the silver, the precious stones that we build our life on. Those doctrinal truths. Father, I pray your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning, use them for the glory of Jesus Christ in our life. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.